armchair.
There's something, I'll say there's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
I'm trying to save the pump up.
Really, this is
you
what you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark. And we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station.
The radio station you can call your own. Do you know what listeners like about our station?
I like everything. It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music. Except for now. When I talk.
You're listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country, your first choice for Southern sports. Good afternoon. I'm Mac McGee, and I don't know much, but I know one thing. It's starting to rise to the top. The cream is rising to the top. And the next few weeks of college football is going to be phenomenal.
Armchair.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. The All-American man.
With a cool one in his head.
Yeah, the armchair. Howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? Hope you are having a phenomenal day here as we are going to get you rolling. For a lot of things are going to be going on today. Number one, with a bullet, is we are going to get you started here with the college football world. We're going to get you ready for the baseball action. All of that ahead. We're going to take you into the world of Atlanta Braves and what they've got to do in the offseason. How much money do we have to spend? What are our targets going to be? All that coming up. But before we get into that, let's get into the weekend that was in college football. In case you missed it, late Saturday night, and this is why I think they got a pass. This is why they got a pass. Because nobody watched the game. Nobody watched the game because it came on, I believe kickoff was 10:30 Eastern, somewhere in that neighborhood. So the game would have lasted until about 2 o'clock in the morning. Nobody watched this game. Nobody watched number 5 Washington struggle at home, mind you, against a 1-win and 5-loss, now 1-win and 6-loss Arizona State team. And that's why they're going to get a pass. The Arizona State Sun Devils, if you missed it, took a 7-0 lead early in the first half. They took it to the halftime up 7-3. Washington was not moving the ball at all in this game. Washington needed a miracle to pull off this win. Washington had a blocked field goal against Arizona State with about 3.5 minutes left in the game. 3.5 minutes left in the third quarter. It would have made it a 10-3 game. This is very relevant. They barely got a hand on it, so it changes the game there. By the way, if you're wanting to know how it went down for Michael Penix, he was 27 of 42, no touchdowns and 2 interceptions. And this is a guy that a lot of folks have as their Heisman Trophy favorite going into the weekend. I don't know if that's necessarily still the case. No one else really jumped off the page, so he can probably absorb this. They had 275 passing yards against a bad Arizona State team. They had a total of 13 yards rushing. So 288 yards total offense. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, Arizona State, they held their own. They had 341 yards total offense. So how did Washington pull off the win? I'll tell you how they pulled off the win. After that blocked field goal, it's 7-3. It's 7-6 with about 8 minutes left in the game. And the Washington Huskies are about to give up either another field goal, which Arizona State decided they did not want to try. It was 4th-and-3 on the Washington 13-yard line. I really don't understand why why Arizona State did not kick the field goal. But they obviously had zero faith in their field goal kicking, because it would have put them up by 4. Instead, the Arizona State quarterback, Trenton Berger, ends up throwing a misguided pass into a sea of purple jerseys, and it's a pick 6 that comes all the way back. And they end up adding a field goal later on. They win it 15-7. So you can really put this on the Arizona State coaching staff, because honest engine, you're up 7-6 on the road, and you got a team that is just playing terrible football. You got to kick that field goal. You got to kick that field goal. You got to make it 10-6. Sure, they may go down the field, and they may put it in the end zone. They may beat you. But you got to kick that field goal and make them have to cross the goal line to beat you. So bad coaching job there, but Washington, they survived by the hair of their chinny chin chin. Another undefeated team, top 10 team in the land, North Carolina. They ran into it against Virginia. They lose at home to Virginia in shocking fashion. By the way, they have a field goal lead with about 8 minutes left in the game. They give up a touchdown, and it's 31-27. But Drake May, another one of your Heisman Trophy favorites, gets the ball back. What happens? Well, they basically go 3 and out. And Virginia should have put the game away. They go into the end zone, and they were very fortunate, North Carolina was. North Carolina defensive player strips the ball. It goes out the back of the end zone for a touchback and gives North Carolina a second life. And they get all the way down inside the 20-yard line of Virginia, 4th-and-12 with about 3 minutes left. And I really thought he was going to make the catch. There was a fade pattern towards the end, just before the pylon, that gets dropped. And then North Carolina gets the ball back one last time, and Drake May throws an interception. The game's over. Virginia, 2-5 on the year, shock the Tar Heels. And North Carolina is going to have to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. You know, we talk about this all the time with college football, because we're talking about 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old kids. But I talk about it all the time when I talk about the looky-loos, and a team might be smelling themselves a little bit. And I think that's exactly what happened with North Carolina. If you look at the statistics, nothing jumps out at you except unforced errors, penalties, turnovers. Devontae Walker had 146 yards receiving, but he didn't make the big catch at the end. They fall flat, and they're not out of the ACC race yet, but you don't love it because they're going to need some massive help to get into the playoffs now. They're going to have to run the table and get some massive help. Because you look at the rest of their schedule, they do have Duke coming up. And if Duke can beat Louisville this weekend, that'll be huge. That'll be huge. But they're going to have to go to Clemson after they play Duke. It's two really tough games. This weekend, they're at Georgia Tech, and that hasn't been the pushover that everyone expected it to be this year. Georgia Tech has some fight in them, right? So they better dust themselves off quickly, because they're going into Atlanta this weekend, and that is not going to be a cupcake game like folks would have expected about a month or so ago. North Carolina is going to have to run the table, and they're going to have to get some help. What else happened in the top 10? Well, Florida State Seminoles, they were on the ropes against a very good Duke. That is the first time I've really sat back and watched Duke. Now, I watched the first game of the season when they played Clemson, but honestly, when you're talking about the first game of the season, you're not dialed in and you don't really know what you're looking for, and you're just kind of consuming it. And that's not the same team I saw. This Duke squad's good. And somebody's going to get them in a bowl game, and somebody's going to get their lunch handed to them. That defense is absolutely phenomenal. They're on point. That's a good Florida State offense that they shut down for three quarters. Now, Florida State finally turned the gas on, and the rest is history. But I'm telling you right now, if you did not catch that game and you're wanting to know, well, Florida State won, they won 38-20. That's not the story of the ball game. I understand they won going away. And if you just skimmed over it, like a lot of fans will do, and they're not paying attention to what actually happened in the game, you're going to figure, well, they won 38-20. I mean, how bad could it have been? Florida State put 21 on them in the fourth quarter. That's the key number. Florida State was trailing 20-17. And Riley Leonard got hit, and it knocked him out of the game. And what it was a face mask. Now, I don't think the kid had any intent, but it was a face mask, and it kind of jerked him down. And for folks who have never played football that think certain things are intentional, I'm sorry, but I hate to break this to you. For those of you who have never played, but you stand there and you tell folks, this is that and that is this. When you get in the heat of a ball game, and you're running in trying to make a play, not every time someone grabs a face mask is it intentional. And a lot of the times you're just grabbing at anything. And that's basically what happened. The kid was dropping back to pass. There was a jailbreak, essentially, on the offensive line. FSU had been trying to get to them all night long. And the jailbreak comes through, and the defensive lineman was coming in to make the sack. Leonard stepped up to avoid the sack, and he was grabbing at anything that he could and got a hold of his face mask. Jerked him back towards the player, and he got the 15-yard penalty. But Leonard came out of the game, and he was never right the rest of the game. He wanted to come back in, but you could see him running up on and down on the sideline, and you could see that there was just – he had no business – getting back in the game. And I'll say this, I've got a lot of respect for their head coach, Elko, because I'll tell you what, he's got a heck of a team, a heck of a defense. One of the best defenses I've seen in college football in a while. He's only been there 2 years, y'all. Now, they just signed him to an extension. I'll be interested to see if they hold him, because we all know these extensions don't mean jack skiddly in college football. These guys sign an extension, and all that means is that the next guy that comes in that wants to hire them is going to have to up the ante. But Elko, for folks who don't remember him, he was the defensive coordinator at A&M under Jimbo a couple of years ago, back when A&M had just had that phenomenal defense. And his defense, he's been there two seasons, second season, so a season and a half. And they already have, I'm telling you right now, it's a top five defense in the country. And I don't know if I would put another defense above them after what I saw the other night. Now, the one thing I'll say is that they don't have the size that some of these other teams have. But, man, I mean, they play outstanding, just shut down, just solid football. And you're not going to beat them on a dumb mistake in the field. You're going to have to go through the teeth of that defense. Florida State found a way to get the win. I'll tell you the biggest thing that changed the game, and it's funny because fans have been clamoring for this for weeks. Jordan Travis took a major hit against Boston College, and ever since then, he's been running gingerly. He's been running seldom, and that all changed the fourth quarter Saturday night. Travis started tucking the ball and taking it with him. Because I've been saying this for a few weeks, an RPO means zilch if the quarterback's not willing to R. Because at that point, it's literally just everybody knows that he's going to hand it off to the tailback. They're crashing the line. And if you're going to have that going on, you might as well put in an extra body, tight end and up back, whatever have you, and be able to crack the back of the formation, because instead what they were doing, and Clemson picked up on it, Clemson took advantage of it. And it almost cost them the game, but Jordan Travis was not carrying the ball. That changed Saturday night. So maybe he's getting healthier. Maybe he just said enough is enough. I got to put this in my hands and I got to run it. Florida State got a tough win. It's going to look pretty on the books, 38-20. But I'm telling you now, because I watched every single bit of that game, that was a tough, hard-fought victory. I'm extremely impressed with that Duke Blue Devil defense. And the rest of their schedule probably plays out to where it's going to be tough for them to get back in the ACC title game. But if they do, Florida State does not want to see them. I guarantee it. They've got to go to Louisville this weekend. Then they're at home against Wake. Then they got to go to North Carolina. Then they're at Virginia, home against Pittsburgh. And they would probably have to run the table to get in there now. They've got two losses, but only one is in conference. But that's going to be tough. This is assuming that one of their losses is either to Louisville or North Carolina. Now, if you drop a rando game to like Wake Forest, but you're going to have the tiebreaker on Louisville and North Carolina, then forget everything. They have a much better chance of getting in. But because they're playing on the road against Louisville this Saturday, which is going to be a great game, 3:30 kickoff, and then November 11th, and remember, that's the same weekend that Miami and Florida State are playing. So it's a big, big weekend in the ACC. North Carolina, Duke. So if Duke can find their way back in it and they get a rematch with, let's say it's Florida State, it's going to be a tough, tough game. Finishing up the ACC talk real quick. Clemson. Man, what in the world happened there? I watched a good bit of that game. I had it on side by side with the Duke game. And Clemson. That game, they should have had that game won. They should have had it put away. Clemson was physically superior to Miami. That was an absolute joke what happened in the end of that game. Number one, they get outscored 10-0 in the fourth quarter. Number two, they have an opportunity to win the game at the end, and they just absolutely spit the bit. I mean, they couldn't move the ball in the fourth quarter. And by the way, Cristobal being so passive there at the end. I mean, he gets the ball back with a few minutes in college football and around midfield, and he was playing for overtime. He ends up winning in overtime. It worked out for him. That could have easily backfired. Oh, my God, can you imagine? After what happened the last time he was down there, they kneed on the ball, and now he's playing the whole lay down, you might get hurt. That was a bad look. And I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but Florida State flipped one of their biggest prospects that's coming into this class. He's right now listed as the top junior in the junior class, but he's reclassifying this year because he will have played 4 years of high school football, varsity football. He's actually graduating and is going to enroll into college this January, and he flipped. A five-star defensive lineman, Armando Blunt, is flipping from Miami to Florida State. And if you think that's not going to bring eyeballs to Mario Cristobal, realize something. Armando Blunt was, not only was he originally committed to Miami, committed, I think, 3 weeks ago? We'll say 5 weeks ago. September 4th, I believe, was the date. So just as the season was going. Got going, right? So that's number one. The number two thing is he plays ball 10 miles from the Miami Hurricane campus. And he's going to go with their biggest rival. That is not going to go over well in Kane Country. All right, the next thing on the docket, as we look at the landscape of college football from this past weekend, diving into the Southeastern Conference. Didn't really hit that up much to start off with because it was a quiet week with the Southeastern Conference because Georgia was off, Florida was off. But we did have some big games, some big outcomes. Alabama took care of Tennessee. Tennessee was up 20-7 at the half. And then what happened in the second half is what we kind of expected to happen throughout the entire game. I thought Tennessee had a chance to possibly pull off the upset, but a lot of things were going to have to fall their way. They were going to have to win the turnover battle, which that's not really what did Milton in, except for the scoop and score where he got, but I'm not going to put that on Milton. He got blindsided. At the time, it was 27-20. He got blindsided. You got to put that on the offensive line. But I'm sure your diehard fans are going to point to him because, look, the quarterback always gets the blame. But with all that being said, he's just wildly inaccurate. He just is. He's not a good quarterback. He's an okay college quarterback for 25 years ago. When you were okay with guys missing receivers because the game was really more of a running game. Nowadays, especially when you're up against a team like Alabama and you got Josh Heupel, you have his offense, you've got to be able to be able to run his offense. And they just simply can't do it because they don't have the quarterback. Which is really dumbfounding because where in the hell was Heupel at during the offseason, the transfer portal? You got all these quarterbacks that were leaving. Why did he not go after Sam Hartman? I have a hard time believing Hartman would have chosen Notre Dame over Tennessee. And look, you make that statement 30 years ago, like, what are you, nuts? But you're talking about an opportunity not only playing the Southeastern Conference, but to play for a high-flying offense. You're trying to tell me Hartman couldn't have been taught? Where was he in the transfer? He was nowhere to be found. Now, I know he got some actual young recruits coming in, and I understand that, but they're not developed yet. But Joe Milton is not the answer. And not being able to assess that is going to be the downfall of this Tennessee team. But they lose a tough one in Tuscaloosa, really got their lunch handed to them in the second half. And lose by two touchdowns doesn't look that bad. It was bad in the second half. It felt hopeless. Auburn did what I thought they would do. They covered the spread at home against Ole Miss. They were getting a touchdown and a hook if you got it early in the week like I did. And they came back on a back end cover, 28-21. Auburn is a different team. They are difficult to beat. It is a good win for Ole Miss on the road. Nothing else in the SEC really jumps out at you. You have that terrible game, Mississippi State, Arkansas. My God, was that a... I use the term a lot. I probably overuse it. Rock fight. That was an absolute rock fight. That was a rock fight in the mud. 7-3. No points scored in the second half. What year is this? 7-3? And now there's all kinds of talk back and forth about whether or not they need a change in Arkansas. And I know Pittman's popular in Georgia country, and I get that. But my God, 7-3, 97 yards passing, that's it. They lost to a team that threw for 85 yards. If you went to that game and sat in the bleachers at noon Eastern, Saturday afternoon, the sun was high in the sky, so you sweated. Tip of the cap to you, my friend, because you, that's yeoman's work right there. Holy cow, what a snore fest that is. Missouri blows out South Carolina, not a shock. Missouri's a good team, and people are not giving them credit for that. Missouri's a damn good team. And then, of course, the big games all throughout college football. If you're going top 10, top 25, obviously the big game of the day was the Ohio State Penn State game. Folks are going to see 20-12, and they didn't fall very far in the AP poll. We'll get into that in a second, but they're going to not fall that far because they're 6-1. They lost by 8. Blah blah blah. That was an embarrassment. Penn State is not a top 10 team. Penn State's offense is absolutely awful. I'm not positive that Ohio State's a top 5 team, but I know Penn State is not a top 10 team. They're not beating anybody in any major New Year's Six Bowl. James Franklin front-loaded his schedule with Cupcake City. They went in there, and at the end, they were playing not to get blown out. They end up getting the garbage score at the end. But let's be honest. If you would have seen 20-6, and you didn't watch the game, you have a different feel than in 20-12. Oh, well, they lost by a touchdown. It's pretty good. It was not that close. You never felt like at any point, other than the scoop and score that got called back because of the holding penalty, you never felt like at any point that Penn State was going to threaten to cross the goal line. Their offense is garbage. And I do take into the effect that, look, Ohio State does have a good defense. I'm not taking that away from them. They do. But Penn State's offense is absolutely terrible. They had 49 yards rushing, 191 yards passing, and that 191, the majority of it came in garbage time. They got the one late touchdown in the end. At that point, the place was starting to file out, and they were in prevent mode. The rest of the Big Ten action, Michigan once again blows out another opponent, 49-0. And I know they've been in Cupcake City. We've talked about it. But they are the governor of Cupcake State. They are just absolutely kicking butt and taking names. Oklahoma squeaked one out against Central Florida. Oklahoma's got holes. Been saying that all year long. I know they beat Texas, but you're not going to convince me that an undefeated Oklahoma team belongs anywhere near in front of the other teams that we're doing. Armchair top 10 again this week, and I'll get into it, but there are folks that are giving Texas top billing in their polls. There are people that are out there. I saw three different polls where Texas had number one votes. Are you kidding me? Oregon took care of Washington State. They beat them by 14 at home. It was after an emotional loss against Washington. I thought it was a solid performance. They didn't blow you away, but they also didn't make you think, oh man, you almost lost. They were never in danger of losing that game. Texas struggles on the road against Houston, and you can't blame that on anything because they had a week off. Oklahoma had a week off. Don't tell me that they were smelling themselves or anything like that. They had time to regroup, and they came out playing like garbage. And those are not – Central Florida is not a good football team. Houston is not a good football team. Both of them are 3-4. Central Florida is 0-4 in the Big 12. Houston's 1-3. So there you have that. The week that was, doing the Armchair Top 10, we're going to look at the big matchups coming up on the weekend. A lot of stuff to do and a little time to do it. We will be back in a flash here on Armchair Mondays.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Fridays, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Are you looking for a reliable dental practice that not only cares about your teeth, but is friendly to work with? How about one that offers great deals and new patient promotions? Well, your search is over. Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton, Georgia is committed to giving you the biggest and brightest smile. Right now, get a $99 new patient special, including x-rays and exam. Maybe you're looking for veneers. Most Valuable Smiles veneer special includes one free veneer with every five purchased. Or get that bright white smile you've always wanted by taking advantage of an exclusive $100 off Zoom whitening treatment when you book today. And don't forget that 2022 is almost over. That means most insurance policies will reset by the new year, and to avoid losing that extra money, you need to use it or lose it. Book an appointment today with Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton to lock in these exclusive deals. Call 706-623-0318 or visit mostvaluablesmiles.com.
Hey, Braves Country. Braves Country HD is bringing you Braves Country Baseball. Braves Country comes to you every Tuesday night and Friday night, and two bonus games every week. Hi, I'm Mac McGee, and we'll be bringing you play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch of your Atlanta Braves. It's free to listen. Please like and subscribe. YouTube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country Baseball, for the fans, by the fans.
Here's good news. There's still a need for hundreds of thousands of cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. right now. And My Computer Career is training people to help meet the demand. No IT experience? No problem. Take the free career evaluation today. Start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Enjoy sun-drenched days, epic stays, and plenty of room to roam in Greater Fort Lauderdale. Our hotels, attractions, and restaurants have taken the Visit Lauderdale Safe and Clean pledge so you can relax and explore with confidence. When you're ready for that well-deserved staycation, our 23 miles of golden beaches await. Find wide open spaces to hike, bike, kayak, and paddleboard. Visit your favorite attractions, then dine out in style in dining rooms or al fresco on waterfront patios. Learn more at sunny.org.
Braves Country Today. We're talking Southern sports We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE. Braves Country Today, Southern Sports Talk with the voice of Braves Country Baseball, Mac McGee. Joined every day from sports analysts from all over Braves Country, talking college football, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and what's trending in the world of sports. Braves Country Today, we go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE.
It all starts with just one thing. When recycling, rinse out jars and cans, and avoid recycling wax paper or paper soiled with food. This will reduce recycling contamination. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's The Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Who is on first?
Why are you asking me? I don't know.
Well, the season's finally here, and the players hit the field. And every man feels like a boy, and every wife could kill. Because he's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer.
All right, let's get into the armchair top 10. This is the top 10. He's kind of fun, and he's kind of bad. As we see it, we don't really care. If it doesn't line up with, though, I always give you the AP top 10. We'll actually kind of skate over and around the top 25. So I want to be honest about it and let you know where it stands and where we differ. We always differ because I believe you get that many writers in the same pool and they're all voting. Most of them vote for just the teams that they watch. Most of them were voting higher or lower on the teams that they cover, the teams that they don't cover. And some of them have, I'm not going to say disingenuous, but it's impossible for them not to have some kind of a bias. Everybody knows I have a bias towards the teams in college football and Major League Baseball, but I try like hell to keep it out of this. I probably actually am a little more critical of the teams that I pull for because I don't want to appear given homer picks. Now, the AP top 10 this week, Georgia was number one. They got 38 number one votes. Michigan's number two. They got 19 votes. Ohio State, three. Florida State, four. They each got 3 first place votes. And that's it. Washington was number 5. Oklahoma, 6. Texas, 7. Oregon, 8. Bama, 9. Penn State, 10. And then if you round out the top 20, if you're just looking for teams of interest, real quick, you got Ole Miss at number 12. Notre Dame is at 14. LSU at 15. Missouri, 16, North Carolina, 17, Louisville, 18, Duke at 20, Tennessee at 21. And then that's about it in the Southeast. Somehow Southern Cal is still ranked in the top 25. I don't get it. They're 6-2. They've been shown to be full of holes. But they're going to continue to get votes because of the writers out west. So how does that differ for us this week? First of all, I do want to hit up the big games this weekend. I believe, and maybe this is a little bit of my bias where I grow up at, where I live, but I believe the biggest game on the planet, or at least in the college football planet this weekend, is the Florida-Georgia game. There are years where that's not the case. Sometimes you end up with another juggernaut on that day. You don't really have that this week. You do have Oregon, number 8, Oregon at number 13, Utah. You do have Duke at Louisville. That's a fun one, but I can't call that any bigger than Florida, Georgia. And Tennessee, Kentucky is going to be interesting. It's going to be entertaining. It's going to be a nice dessert to the Florida, Georgia game that I believe is your main course. Everybody will differ with their appetizers on the noon kickoffs. As far as ranked teams on the noon kickoffs, Florida State is at Wake Forest, Oklahoma is at Kansas, Penn State is at home against Indiana. You might scoff at the Florida State one, but remember this one, Florida State has lost 3 straight years to Wake Forest. So it's not a gimme, but Sam Hartman's no longer there. As much as I do think that Wake Forest poses a lot of problems for FSU, I also think this one's been circled on the schedule. I listen to a lot of different talk shows and podcasts around the country, college football, etc., baseball, and there's one main theme from the guys that cover Florida State football, and that is they really want to beat Wake Forest. This is a big one for them because they've gotten their nose pushed into it last few years. But if that's not a game that you're going to be necessarily, if you're not a Florida State fan, if you're not a Wake Forest fan, or if you don't hate one of those teams, you're not necessarily going to be locked into that one. If you're looking for what do I do with my noon Saturday, SEC's not giving you much. You got South Carolina and Texas A&M. That's not a good one at all. That is going to be, that could be the Who Gets Fired Bowl, but that is not a good one at all. I still feel like Beamer should be safe in South Carolina, but there's been rumblings. I mean, he had such a good year last year. I feel like that he could live off of that for year or two. I don't think he could have another horrible season like he did this year next year, but I feel like that he'll survive. But Jimbo Fisher, whew, let him lose at home to South Carolina, see what happens. I'll tell you what happens. They're going to start making phone calls to Elko at Duke. If you're looking for somewhere else to possibly put your entertainment value at, I mean, Clemson and NC State could get interesting at noon. They're actually calling that at 2 o'clock. That's a weird time. But that the only reason why I'd be interested in that is because, first of all, I'd like to know who the hell put it at 2 o'clock. But the other thing is, I mean, who decided, let's start this game at halftime of the noon kickoffs. But the other thing would be, if Dabo doesn't get the win there, man, is the heat going to come down. And you're talking about a guy that can live off his laurels, fair enough. But man, would that get ugly? They're already freaking out because they lost to Miami. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? They go and lose. That would be a tough one. If you're looking for noon kickoffs, they really aren't jumping out at you big, because the one that could get interesting, although I doubt that you're going to get a lot from it. Oh, I've got that wrong. I apologize. It's a noon. It's not noon kickoff. It's a 3:30 kickoff. I was eyeing the BYU going into Texas. That could get hairy, because Texas, they're just not hitting on all cylinders right now. But as far as the noon kickoffs, sometimes this time of year you start trying to point towards the Big Ten, but there's really nothing at that noon slot. Nothing of interest. Yeah, fair enough. If Indiana gives Penn State a good game, okay, but it's not one that you can really point to. But it's going to be a good football Saturday. It's going to be a solid one. It's not going to be one of your great ones, but it's going to be a solid one. You got 3 top 10 teams in action at noon. Then you got the Florida-Georgia game. That's the one I'm going to be locked in on. But a couple of interesting ones at that same time, Duke-Louisville, Oregon-Utah. Those are really good matchups. And then the night games, You don't have any one that really jumps out, but there is one that you do want to keep an eye on because it could get hairy. It could get hairy. After that tough physical game against Penn State, does Ohio State stumble in to Badgerland? Do they go into Madison on a night game? Do they stumble in and come out flat? That is going to be a very interesting one. Very. I don't expect Ohio State to lay an egg, but at the same token, this is what I like to call a flat tire game. Meaning you got all hyped up the week before. And this isn't the looky-loo, because the looky-loo is when you're about to play someone. They don't have another test, real test, until Michigan. This is the flat tire game where you go out there and you blow your tire out the week before and you're just kind of trying to get home on the spare. And here we go. So that's an interesting one to me. I know ABC is trying to push Colorado versus UCLA. They're only doing that because of the Deion Sanders. And I really hope UCLA just lays the wood on them. I hope they teach ABC a lesson not to put a flim-flam game on at 7:30 just because they think that that's the team that everybody wants to watch. I could care less. Or I could not care less is what I should say. There is no way I'm caring about that game. That also happens to be game two of the World Series. I'm going to be watching that, obviously. But if I have any interest in the evening games, the early evening games, Tennessee, Kentucky at 7 o'clock ESPN, and the Ohio State, Wisconsin, I just want to see, is it competitive? Do we get something there? Do we get any kind of a scare? Other than that, it's going to be a hard pass on most of the stuff that happens after that Florida-Georgia game. That Florida-Georgia game, Georgia better not go in there not ready. Florida is going to try like hell to control that game, to control the tempo of that game. And what happens if Georgia falls behind? The recent history of Georgia dominating that series has usually been because Georgia has gotten in front of the game. They have just they've methodically beaten Florida down. But with no Bowers and Bennett long gone, this is a game that Georgia better watch out. And normally you wouldn't have to say, oh, don't overlook Florida. But they're not ranked. Though I would make the argument they should be ranked. The 5-2 Florida team, they might have flaws, but they've been a hell of a lot more impressive than Southern Cal. You're trying to tell me that James Madison, I'm sorry, I know you're undefeated, stop it. With the James Madison being undefeated and sitting at 25. James Madison, really? Stop it with putting Southern Cal in there just because at one point they were thought to be a playoff contender. That would be my biggest argument against the fact that Florida should be ranked in this game. I understand that they had a blowout loss against Kentucky. I understand they got manhandled against Utah. But they won a pretty convincing game against Tennessee. I understand that they've got some holes, and you look at their schedule and you say, well, they barely beat South Carolina, blah, 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 blah. But Mertz was impressive in that game. and he could put a scare into Georgia. And Georgia, if you look at their schedule, if they were to somehow drop this game, it's not a foregone conclusion that Georgia's going undefeated the rest of the way. They're at home, but they still play a very tough Missouri squad. They're at home, but they still play Ole Miss. They're on the road in Knoxville, and they're on the road at Georgia Tech. They do not have another cupcake game. They've used all those up. Lord knows that they've used those up. Ball State and UAB. What was the other clown college they played? UTM. All that's gone. The last five games of the season, not counting the SEC championship game, which we assume they're going to get there. Florida, neutral site. Missouri and Ole Miss, home, but still those are back to back to back. Then at Tennessee and at Georgia Tech. Every single one of those except for Ole Miss is a rivalry game, but I mean, Ole Miss is still an SEC game, so there's always a bit of a rivalry when you talk about a conference game. That is going to be a gauntlet. I do not believe Georgia is going to go undefeated. I still think Georgia is good enough to rebound off of any of those losses, get to the SEC title game, and punch their ticket. But if they lose any of these games, it then makes the rest of the season win or go home. This isn't a typical season where it looks like a two-loss team can sneak their way in. This is a season where I think you're going to get a couple of undefeateds possibly and a bunch of one-loss teams. And that's, it's going to make it murky. And you're not, they're not just going to put them in because they won the 2 years prior. If they do that, all hell will break loose. So this is a huge, huge game. All right, let me give you my top 10 real quick. Kind of gave you a lot of the lay of the land of why we're putting these guys where they're at. My number 10 team in the country, I know a lot of people scoff at this. They are 7-1 and they are in the SEC. They are going to have plenty of opportunities in front of them if for some reason they can't come through. Give me the Missouri Tigers. They still have Florida. They have Georgia on their schedule. If I'm wrong about this, it's fine. They're going to have time to prove it. But they have Florida, Georgia, and Tennessee all left on their schedule. That's an impressive team. And I know it wasn't a great team that they beat this past weekend, but they laid the wood on Kentucky. They convincingly pounded South Carolina. Yeah, they had a tough loss against LSU. They basically lost a barn burner, but that is an impressive team. And I can't wait to see their matchups in November because it is going to be fun, fun, fun. By the way, they are off this week. All right. My number 9 team in the land, the Texas Longhorns. Don't tell me they need to be up higher than they are. I understand AP poll's got them number 7. No. You almost lost to Houston at home. No. I'm out. Put them at number 9. Utah. The Utah Utes. What's a Ute? The Utah Utes are the number 8 team in the armchair top 10. Don't give me that number 13 nonsense. It's BS. They've won some games that have been impressive. They won on the road. They've got a good resume. Give me the Utes. And they still have a lot of games in front of them. So I don't worry too much when I put a team that is going to play their fair share. I don't worry about it because if they don't belong there, we'll find out in the next few weeks. This is this week. This isn't how I think the rest of the season is going to go. This is who deserves it today off of what they've done looking in the rearview mirror. Putting polls out, looking in the front view, in the windshield, makes absolutely no sense because you don't know. You're just projecting and predicting. I'm telling you what is off of what we've seen. Number 7 team in the land. Give me the Oregon Ducks. Impressive once again. A solid win at home. Differs a little bit. They're number 8 in the AP, but you know that's right there. Number 6 team, Oklahoma, matches up. I got to put them there. They're undefeated. I'm still not convinced. But hey, when you're undefeated, you find a way to get through these games. Everybody has a scare who goes undefeated. Everybody. Doesn't matter who you are. No matter what team you name throughout history, they had some kind of a scare. May not be the 2-point scare that the OU had, but they had some kind of a uh-oh moment. Number 5 team in the country, Washington Huskies. Speaking of uh-oh moments, that was a hell of an uh-oh moment. That was a rut-row raggy. They should have lost the game. If Arizona State hadn't have spit the bit and stumbled and crumbled, They would have won the game. If they just would have done basic football coaching and get off these damn analytics that tells you to go for things. 4th and 3, up by 1 point on the road with a few minutes left in the game. You kick the damn field goal and force your opponent to score a touchdown to beat you. You don't go for it. They're doing that because they're saying, oh, if you don't get it, then guess what? We're going to be able to stop them and get the punt, and then we'll be right back where we started. That's not necessarily what happens. Get the damn points, you morons. Number 4 team in the country, Ohio State. They're undefeated. Can't argue it. That team doesn't impress me. Not that offense. That offense is as vanilla as they come. And they're going to get their butts handed to them at the end of the season. But you got to keep them up there because they did. They've beaten Notre Dame. They've beaten a one-loss Penn State team, though that Penn State team, their offense is an absolute fraud. But they did beat the teams in front of them, and they've played a decent schedule. Not great, but a pretty solid schedule so far, especially when you had the Notre Dame in. Number 3 team of the country, give me Florida State. Florida State remains number 3. They end up winning by 18 against a very good Duke team. I'm telling you right now, it's still, to me, it's one of the best defenses in the entire country. If you get a chance to watch Duke football, if you're an old-school, smash-mouth fan of football, you'll enjoy watching a Duke football game. That's all. And I never thought I'd ever say that in my lifetime. But it's true. They are fundamentally sound, I guess is the term I was looking for earlier. Number 2 team in the country. They're heading to Jacksonville, Florida this week. The Georgia Bulldogs. They're defending national champions. They're the defending 2-time national champions. They can't be beaten. How the hell are they not number 1? Because if you missed the show last week, they dropped last week. And some of it has been the fact that they have not won very convincingly. But that's not why I broke my golden rule of if you're the defending champion and if you haven't lost that much, especially a 2-time defending champion, you've got a bloated cabinet coming back. Well, then, my God, you just got to go out there and put him in the number 1 seed. This has been building for weeks. Georgia's not number 2 because I think they're not a bad football team. Georgia's number 2 because Michigan is the best damn team in the country. They are blowing the doors off of teams. A game that I thought could be interesting because it was a rivalry game. they went in there, won 49-0 against a in-state rival. Michigan is on a damn mission. And I don't know if this is going to be Harbaugh's last year or not. The rest of the Big Ten is going to hope that it is. But he has got the best team in football. I hope he sticks around, because I would love to see some of these Pac-12 teams that are on their way coming into the Big Ten and facing off against the Wolverines. It would be a lot of fun. But if this is his last ride, man, oh man, what a ride it has been. They're off this week, by the way. So nothing's going to change my eyes on that. I don't care what the rest of the teams do. Michigan is the number one team in the country. For at least, well, I say that, but you never know. Something could happen. Something goofy could happen. But they've got a showdown. They're at home against Purdue in 1 week, and then they're at Penn State, and then they'll finish it off at Maryland and at home against Ohio State. That's their season in a nutshell, the month of November. The rest of this has all just been layups. Man, this is the most hectic time of the year, and in a few months, there won't be a damn thing to talk about, but right now, there's nothing. There's not enough time in the day to get through all of this. We got the World Series on the way. College football's in full swing. The NFL. Let's get it.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE, The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
Something of the 5th of September, something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah.